I don't know about you, but I'm really hungry after that. You're listening to Adam and Dave here in Revolution Rock, and we just came back from, in case you can't tell, Donuts.
Yeah, that's one of many songs from a new release by Jad Fair in collaboration with Samuel Locke Ward. Now, this is a brand new album called Happy Hearts, I should say. And it covers a wide range of Jad Fair's styles that he's been known for. There's like some alternative-y songs, some garagey songs, some folky songs, some country songs. But this is part of a collaboration that kind of started in 2021, kind of a marathon to complete 100 albums in the calendar year. And Jad Fair and Samuel Locke Ward would do one song a week, I believe.
That was the goal, and, you know, with that said, it's such an amazing collaboration. There's 17 songs overall on this record. Not all of them are about foodstuffs, but the ones that are, right on, can really relate to that song. Fantastic stuff from the classic songwriting from Jad Fair and Samuel Locke Ward. Before that, we did misstate the band's name, so full apologies. We actually heard from Tommy Stinson. So I can't even say his name right now. Tommy Stinson's Campfire Cowboys.
Yes. So yeah. Tommy Stinson, best known as the bassist from Replacements. They reunited several years ago. They attempted to do new recordings and kind of scrapped it. And then that was pretty much it after two quite long reunion tours, mm-hmm. Which was great. I saw them, I think, on both legs of that tour. Tommy Stinson has been doing a lot of stuff since then. He, for many years, played in Guns N' Roses as their bassist and in a variety of bands. And lately he's been doing some more solo-y stuff. And he kind of reformed one of his earlier bands, Bash and Pop, not too long ago, put out an album, and now he has this new band, which is a duo. As mentioned, Tommy Stinson's Campfire Cowboys. We heard the song Dream from a new forthcoming album.
Yes, and that is a duo with Chip Roberts. And the new album, it's going to be released in June. I believe it's called Wronger.
Yes, and Chip Roberts is a frequent collaborator with Stinson as of late. Well, actually, when he does his solo stuff.
Yeah, and I do have to say I prefer this to Guns N' Roses quite a bit, so I'm really glad to see he's going in this direction.
Well, really, it was just a live gig for him.
Sure.
For a long time.
You know, we can't all be perfect. It's okay.
I think he did all right. Anyways, before that, we heard music from Tea Leaves from their 2015 release, Wooden Hands. We heard Traveler. They're playing a show tonight. We're going to mention that in just a moment with another band. A local country artist named Alex Stoikoski, and they put out a new release called Replica Art earlier this year in January. We heard the track This Year's Loser, and this album, the production is great. It sounds like a 70s country production, although it was done, I believe, mostly digital. And they're playing a show tonight with several bands, including Tea Leaves, at the Chelsea Underground here in Windsor. Highly recommended. Tea Leaves always put on a great show, and I've never seen Alex Stoikoski, but I'm not sure who's in his band. I'm curious to find out. And then we started off with local favorite Ron Leary from his latest. We heard the single Our Dogs.
Yeah, and he is performing, I believe, still right now at Fog Lounge, so you might have a chance to catch the tail end of that. Coming up next, we're going to be celebrating some anniversaries. We actually have three of them that we're celebrating. One of them is a 30th anniversary, which, I'm actually surprised. We haven't played this band too much on the program, Suede.
Yeah, we have, but it's, I don't know if we have.
No, it's been hit or miss, and, you know, certainly Suede are one of those groups where when you talk about the bleed-over effect of Britpop into North America, they often are forgotten. A lot of people mention Blur, and obviously Oasis, and, a few other acts, but Suede is often overlooked, which is a shame, because they were one of the first to really come out and get a lot of buzz in the UK, and this album, their self-titled debut record, got a lot of acclaim at the time of its release, with its sound hearkening back to a lot of glitter and glam rock bands of the early 70s, such as David Bowie and T-Rex, of course, even some elements of Roxy music being in there. Really great poetic lyrics, and just this visceral sexuality, which was pretty much bereft within the British music scene at the time, where everything was all, top button, collar button done up, make sure, you don't show too much skin. No, they just were all about, let's present the body, let's talk about sex, candidly, which really changed a lot of what was going on within the conversation of British music at the time. So, really groundbreaking for that. And as I said, they led the way for a lot of Britpop acts to become popular, such as Blur, such as Oasis, arguably Radiohead as well. Before that, we're going to hear some music from a band that it's always weird to play them because there's so many hits, and yet I think it would be overlooking something. Let's just put it that way. I'm struggling to think of what it is because it is such an important record.
It would be Not Goody.
Not Goody, exactly. Yeah. We'd be remiss to not mention Houses of the Holy by Led Zeppelin, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary this week.
Yes, Led Zeppelin, of course, became a huge, huge mainstream band and really went into excess in all forms of the word there in their career. And before they started out, it was Jimmy Page who basically cut his teeth being a session musician playing in the Yardbirds, and then as they were splitting up, Zeppelin formed. And this is many years after the fact, but one thing he learned was production, and he produced every Zeppelin record. He produced a lot of the I'm not sure about the Yardbirds, but he had a lot to say when he was doing a lot of the recording. And in Zeppelin, he did everything himself, and I don't think he's ever really produced any other bands.
Not to my knowledge. Now, this one I really enjoy because the band definitely got out of their comfort zone. Certainly, they had a legacy built up already from their preceding four records. But on this one, they explored different sounds and textures, getting into music like reggae, funk, ambience. And then, of course, the sort of proto-metal and blues rock they were known for being mainstays of their discography. With that said, you know, Houses of the Holy for me, even though it has a few major hits on it, stands as one of those records I could still listen to front to back and not feel like, oh, I've heard this song ad nauseum. To me, it stands the test of time for that. And in terms of the production, I think it's probably the best sounding Led Zeppelin record. Mm. I know that's a bit of a hot take.
Well,
I'm all about those spicy takes though, Dave.
You know what though? The production is similar to Physical Graffiti. There's a lot of outtakes from this album on there. So that's my favorite one. But also, I feel like the first album was produced really well. You know what? We could talk
There's
about...
There's also four. But you know what? We could talk a lot about this band. But even before Led Zeppelin kind of became the flagship band of the 1970s, there was one that could be argued to be the flagship band of the 1960s, the Beatles.
Yes. And you know what? We weren't around at the time when this was happening, but it did change a lot. And it's weird to think that, and the same went with like the Stones, the Rolling Stones, and the Kinks even, a lot of those bands. At that time, really, new bands were just doing covers of popular hits. They weren't doing originals. They kind of changed this. They were part of a group of bands that were changing this. They were putting out original recordings in addition to covers, and then eventually that covers would go away and they would just do originals.
Exactly, and now the standard for most rock music is to have original material rather than rely on standards and covers. So the Beatles were definitely part of a wave of music that changed it, but the Beatles were primarily known at this point for their hellacious live shows, and it might be odd to think of these artists who are such huge crossover sensations to be known for their very raw live sound, but back in their days when they were performing in Germany, they were known for that, so much so that the original record that we heard was not going to be a studio recording. They actually wanted the Beatles to perform live in the Hamburg club where they would normally perform.
That would have been so cool.
However, apparently the acoustics were not hospitable for a live recording, so they brought the Beatles in to do a quick session recording, and EMI released it. And the rest is pretty much history, as the Beatles have become, you know, probably the iconic rock band. And with that said, I really love exploring this first record because the songs are quick, they're fast, it's not the type of excess and studio trickery that we're used to hearing from the Beatles later on. It's just a rock group just performing their songs, and we're going to hear a couple of them here in this set, starting off with the track Misery.
You're listening to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM and syndicating across several different stations here in Canada.
Sure. Confounded Bridge.